Sometime back, I read an article. The article was about the right way to pray. One of the things that made this article interesting to me is that it was written by an agnostic, a person who would describe himself as an agnostic, a person who was not sure whether we could ever really know if there is a God. For the article, the writer, he went on a prayer road trip in the United States. First, he visited an evangelical megachurch in the northern and the upper Midwest. In this church, he found giant stadium screens. He found thousands of people who would gather over the course of a weekend for each service. He also had a conversation with a New Age type Episcopalian in the Upper West Side of New York City. This author, he spent a day with a sophisticated Jewish synagogue in New England. And he ends his prayer pilgrimage for this article with a Sunday morning visit. It actually was an Easter Sunday morning visit to a tiny Christian church a few miles outside of Beckley, West Virginia. He wrote this about the West Virginia church. "I liked being in this one the most. I especially liked the small children's Sunday school class. This small group of children, they didn't need prayer techniques. They didn't need a book of worship. They didn't need the high-tech world of screens in a megachurch. Their prayers weren't sophisticated prayers of an educated rabbi, offered seemingly to whom it may concern. They didn't need New Age mantras to center themselves before they prayed. These children simply prayed to God, whom they knew on a first name basis. These children, they prayed on behalf of their siblings with asthma. They prayed for their out-of-work grandparents. They prayed for a kid at school who was burned when their house caught on fire." The author, he concludes this article by talking about himself. He writes, "Sitting in that little church in the mountains of West Virginia, I realized that I probably will never be a person of prayer. But if by some miracle I ever do, I hope that my prayers are like the prayers of those people in West Virginia. Their prayers are straight up, give me on behalf of people who really need help." In today's reading from the book of James, James, he recommends this type of prayer, straight up, give me. Unwavering, help me. James says that prayer, that it will save the sick. He writes that prayer, it is powerful and it is effective. He says that the prophet Elijah prayed that it would not rain and it didn't rain. Then Elijah prayed for rain and it rained. So here's the question on my heart, and probably on many of yours. Does prayer work? Now I'm going to tell you, I pray. And I know that you pray. I pray a lot. I pray early in the mornings. I pray at empty spots throughout my day. My family and I, we pray together at meals. I pray at church a lot, in worship, in meetings, in Bible studies. I pray for you. One of my habits is when I ride by your house, I pray for you. When I ride by your place of business, where you work, I pray for you. I pray for our children when I ride by our schools. I pray for our teachers in those schools. Sometimes I pray because I'm thankful. Sometimes I pray and I confess my faults, my sins. I pray sometimes that sick people will be healed. Sometimes my prayers are these straight up, give me plain old help. Sometimes my prayers are thank yous. And I know that I'm not alone. I read that in a recent survey, 75% of Americans say they pray. I would guess if we took a poll in this room, it would be closer to 100%. So that's one part about my thoughts on prayer. But on the other hand, it's just not that simple. Because there have been times where I have prayed for answers, I have prayed for things, and they haven't come. I've prayed for people to be healed, and they weren't. I've prayed for troubled people, and they're still troubled today. And I'm guessing that you have done the same thing. So here's the question. Does prayer work? Why pray? My youth pastor growing up was a man by the name of Tim Renner. He was about our parents' age in the church where I grew up, but he was my youth pastor starting out in middle school all the way through college. Tim was from Maryland. His dad was a pastor there. Mr. Renner, he would preach and worship quite a bit at the church where I grew up. He kind of took me under his wing, and when I sensed the call to ministry, he really offered me a lot of help, and I've somewhat stayed connected with Mr. Renner through the years. I remember one time he told the story about prayer. It was about his dad, who was a young man at the time. Mr. Renner's dad was a youngish man, and his appendix ruptured. Back then, if your appendix ruptured, most of you know that was then a condition that was potentially deadly. So the older Mr. Renner, he was rushed to the hospital in Baltimore. His wife prayed for him. The church where he served as a pastor, they prayed for him. They all prayed that a miracle would come and that Mr. Renner would be okay. They operated, and they found, in fact, that his appendix, it had ruptured. They also discovered that the infection had spilled over into his entire lower abdomen, which was not good. Several days after the surgery, the surgeon came by to visit Mr. Renner in his hospital room, and they told him what they had found when they opened him up. They found about the worst thing they could have anticipated. The doctor told the family that just a couple of weeks before the operation, that a drug rep, a pharmaceutical representative, had been by his office and had left him some things and had left him the sample of a new drug. A powdered form of something that had come out just a couple of years earlier in the mid-40s, something called penicillin. Doctor said that during the operation he thought to himself, this guy needs every chance he can get. It can't hurt. So he sent one of the nurses back across the hospital to his office for the sample, and he sprinkled the entire packet of the stuff right into Mr. Renner. And he lived. And he recovered. So here's the question. Was the production of penicillin in the mid-late 40s and then that salesman, he coming by that surgeon's office and that packet that he left and the doctor's memory right at that point in time in surgery? Was it just a combination of good science and good luck? Or did prayer work? You know, I believe that prayer often works in ways that don't appear miraculous. Answers to prayer sometimes are disguised as normal things. They have the appearance of being ordinary. Some people may talk about coincidence or luck, but I see God's hands all over these types of things. And I would guess that if you look at your life, it may not be the parting of the Red Sea type event, but there are points in our lives where our prayers are answered in ordinary ways. But sometimes the answer is not a disguised yes, but sometimes it's a no. But here's something else curious about prayer. Sometimes the no may even be a hidden answer. St. Augustine was a great 4th century Christian, theologian, pastor. St. Augustine wrote a book that is still an autobiography that is still widely read today called Confessions. He tells almost everything in his Confessions. And Augustine grew up in Carthage in North Africa. His mother was a devout Christian lady named Monica. But Augustine at the time was not a Christian, but he was on the edge of faith. And like any bright young man at the time, he wanted to leave his hometown of Carthage to go to Rome, the great city of his day. But his mother, she desperately wanted him to stay home, stay in Carthage. And over and over and over again, she prayed not to Rome. Not to Rome with all of its paganism and its godlessness. So one day Augustine tells his mother that he's just going to go down to the seaport in Carthage. He had a friend coming in on a ship and he wanted to visit him there in the harbor, which it was a lie. He was just going to get on a ship and head to Rome. Monica, being a good mother, she knew what he was doing. So she told her son Augustine, "Well, I'll go with you." Augustine, on the way, told her that it wouldn't be a good thing for his pious Christian mother to be around all those worldly sailors. He pointed out a church. And he said, "While I visit my friend, why don't you just go and pray?" So she went to the church. She prayed the prayer that she had been praying month after month, year after year, that her son would stay home, not leave, that he wouldn't get on a ship, that he would stay home and become a Christian. And as she prayed that prayer, Augustine was getting on a ship and sailing to Rome. Another rebellious son was off to sow his wild oats. But when he was in Rome, Augustine happened to be walking down a street by a church, a monastery. And there was a wall, and on the other side of the wall, he heard the voice of a man reading the Bible. It was St. Ambrose reading. And for Augustine, hearing the Word of God read that day, it set in motion events in his life with which he would be converted to Christ. Later in his life, Augustine would pray these words about his mother's prayer. "But thou, O God, in thy hidden wisdom, didst give the substance of her desire, yet refused the thing she prayed for." Or as Garth Brooks would sing about this, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." I think there's also a third disguise that answers to prayer sometimes where? Often the unwelcome answer is that it's not God who needs to change things, but it's us who need to change and grow and bend. We are always praying for God to bend God's divine will to match what we want. We pray for the things we desire. We pray for our agendas. We pray for the hurt to stop. We pray for our needs to be met. We pray for all of our hopes to be fulfilled. It is as if each of us were the center of things. But sometimes when we pray, the answer is not for God to give me exactly what I want. Rather, it is for me to change. And to change what I want. When I first became a pastor, the church that I first served, I had served there for several years as an associate. So I knew Jerry Adams before I became pastor. Jerry was a great guy. He was a helicopter pilot for the North Carolina National Guard. And Jerry, one weekend, he was away for training and they were doing some type of exercise. And on his rifle, he wasn't able to pull the lever that released the magazine on his gun. And he went to the doctor, and they thought it was a carpal tunnel type thing, but it ended up being ALS, that he was losing strength in that arm. Jerry was a praying man, and so was his wife, Drusilla. And I remember, even though I was the associate, when that diagnosis came, I remember they prayed and our church prayed and churches throughout the community prayed, just like the book of James tells us to pray. We prayed our hearts out for Jerry. We prayed just as I would have desperately prayed that Jerry would be okay, that a miracle would happen, and that he would be healed. I remember when I became pastor, it was a anxiety-filled visit to start going to see him. He had been diagnosed with ALS for over a year, and the disease was taking hold on him. The loss of movement, the declining strength. But I remember one day I talked to Jerry about prayer. I was almost afraid to ask him about it. I knew he had prayed for healing, and yet I could see how sick he was. He told me about how hard he had prayed, how hard everyone in the church and the community had prayed. But then he said that the prayers had worked. He said to me, "I have been healed. I haven't been healed from ALS, but I have been totally healed of my fear of this disease." As I watched the months, the days of Jerry's life unfold, everyone in the community knew that he had spoken the truth. He lived those last months with ALS without any bitterness, without any fear. He grew weak, but there was no anger. He moved slowly, but fearlessly. He worshiped at church as long as he could. He and his wife spent much time together. He continued to pray. He listened to audiobooks, and he thought deeply. Did his prayers work? Well, not in the way that many people would have hoped. But I believe his prayers worked. So I ask you a question today. Are you burdened? Well, pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray boldly. Pray with expectant hearts that God will answer your prayer. Pray knowing that God listens to you. Why pray? Because prayer It works. Let us pray. Kind and loving God, we give you thanks that you hear our prayers, that you answer our prayers, that even through the what many people would call ordinary events, God, that you are moving and are active. God, many times when you do not give specific answers, we know that you are accomplishing what is best for us. And God, we know so often that rather than trying to bend you to our wills, that we need to change those things that we are asking for and our prayers are answered because we change. I pray, God, that we will be a praying people, that we will be expectant looking for answers. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our hymn of response today is number 417. We will sing the first and the last stanzas.